Blammo! Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, July 3rd, 2009. That was George Winston, the famous pianist, as you might have guessed, and myself playing a song called Yesterday in the Pleiades, which is on our Andromeda with Love, which was an all-celebrity album. And strangely enough, I'm the one playing the piano. I'm playing his axe, and he's playing a slack-key Hawaiian guitar. We were over in Hawaii and recorded that at Uncle Billy's. In Hilo, very famous place where George and I used to hang out. Today we've got Steve Barish, and he'll be on in a second. He's in fine shape. He's been going through a detox in the Great Pyramid. Celebrating July 4th tomorrow. My great, I don't know how many great-grandfathers you do to get Ethan Allen, but on the mother's, it's actually my grandfather's wife's side of the family, which makes him a great grandfather something, was Ethan Allen, who started the Revolutionary War in 1776 on the Lexington-Concord Bridge. So it's a big celebration for our family, too, as well as America. And my condolences to all the Michael Jackson fans. A lot of my friends worked with him. We lost a great talent there. I think his energy would be around for a long time. I even saw a picture of his face taken in the clouds. So look forward to hearing more about how that situation goes. So how's Steve Barish doing today?
I'm doing okay. I'm coming back from detoxing, actually.
What happened, anyway?
Well, the pyramid itself is working quite well. It's it's so powerful, Fred, that I felt terrible for the first few days. I felt excellent, actually, and then it started really started pouring out a lot of energy on me, And so I'm going through a heavy detox now.
That's the difference between the older pyramids that we made and the new, improved, much more powerful pyramid that we make now. Remember when
this is tremendously more powerful, much, much more powerful.
Yeah, and you're a good testimonial to that. Obviously.
Absolutely. I'm a pretty strong guy, and when it comes to energy, I'm pretty fearless, but this stuff is really, it really works. It really does work.
90 days, as we discussed on the phone as you were going into this exciting turn of your life.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So you recommend everybody get a sore throat like you and a detox like you, right?
Absolutely. It really does work. I think the detox will help me energetically even more.
Yeah, what'll happen, at least it happens to me, is that after you go through this 3-month period, when you go to sleep at night, because you won't have to wait for your etheric body to clear, you'll go to sleep a lot faster. And, of course, when you go to sleep a lot faster, you'll go into the astral world. And when you get in the astral world and your body's not toxic, you're going to have the wildest dreams you can imagine. And you can. The nice thing about sleeping in this new improved Portamid is that it improves what we call dream reentry. In other words, when you're my age, you get up about 3 o'clock in the morning and go to the bathroom, you know, which I never used to do when I was a kid. I just went to bed then. But you get up and go to the bathroom, and you come back, and you can jump right back into the dream that you're having. And the dreams are so lifelike. I've actually woke up in the morning in the middle of a really cool dream thinking I was still in it. And
yep.
I had to wake up, you know, I'm looking around the room, and I'm really, somehow or other I'm connecting the dream to where I'm at in the room, thinking, well, I switched to the room. That's how intense those things are now.
Well, it's pretty intense. As we were talking earlier this week, I would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, every morning, 2:55, 2:59, and we'd go to the bathroom, come back, and get back into a dream again.
Yeah, so you've already experienced that.
Oh, yeah.
Did you do that with your other, the old Portamid system, or just the new one?
No, this one's a lot more powerful. The other one, I slept all night through.
Yeah,
but it just didn't have the power of this one.
Yeah, it didn't have the parameters of that new improved capstone, and it didn't have the plating process that we use now, the coating process, and it did not have the accuracy. Those things.
Well,
these won't bend. They won't cave in or change shape.
No, this one's staying the same. It's very powerful. It's actually beautiful to look at.
Yeah, it is a gorgeous piece. That capstone's got enough gold on it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's really beautiful. It's a lot better than the old one.
Yeah.
Much, much, much better. But my dreams are it's almost like being in 3D.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And full
that's
color.
Exactly right. And what I'll do is I'll go back to bed, and within 3 or 4 minutes, I'll be back in the dream again.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
It's wild.
But what kind of dreams you've been having?
Well, I've been dreaming about basically is energy, a lot different kind of energy dreams. I've had actually not a nightmare, but changes in my life through dreams.
Yeah.
And I feel like my growth is a lot more. And I experience a lot of balance in my life. And I feel even stronger in that direction. So I know it's working very, very well. So as I'm detoxing, I'm actually becoming stronger, and it feels that way.
Yeah.
In other words,
one of those, put it over your massage table.
Well, I'd like to do that eventually, as soon as I can. I'm not sure if I'm coming home with my massage table or leaving it in an office. I'm thinking about doing one or the other again.
What are you going to do? You close down your office or what?
Well, I'm thinking about it because the room at home is a doorway for me. And people, I was having a problem having people get off the table and leave.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. The people were feeling, and the Palladians and the Andromedans, they were feeling the presence of something very holy in the room.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And my room is a doorway. I've had a lot of different people come in and work with me in terms of energy on my clients. And that's the room where I had tremendous light come in through all the projectors, and in the center of the room was a tremendous light about 2 or 3 feet in a ball of light in the center of the room. We were talking about that last year on the radio. And so I moved the projectors out of the room and into my office.
Right.
It's powerful in the office, but nothing like the room I have at home.
So you're still going to... So are you going to bring people into your home or what?
I think so, Fred. I think eventually I'm going to do that again.
Cool.
I wanted to keep it separate so I could have a room to myself to do my prayer work, meditation work, and energy work all at the same time. But that's sort of selfish of me.
Yeah.
I love sharing, and the room is extremely powerful now.
You know, you sound a lot clearer.
Well, it's my mind's much, much clearer due to the pyramid. There's no question about it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really sharp. I feel much more determination in the direction that I'm headed in. And I feel much better, even though I'm detoxifying. I think it's great to detoxify because it gives me the idea and the know-how to move forward. So I feel much better.
That's excellent.
Yeah. So it does work. To anybody out there that's interested in moving forward quickly, that pyramid will take you there. No question about it.
I see we got the chat going here, and somebody says... during the dream, I was trying to show or teach others to fly. So that's something I do a lot. That's one thing that I've had a lot of dreams of, flying. And, you know, I'm glad he brought that up because I used to practice the way that you can fly. I mean, you can actually float. You know, remember, we did levitate people in the system.
Yes.
Three, okay, and we've also got the TM people. The TM people to use our System 3 up in Montecito back when Tom Headley was president of TM of America when Mahesh Yogi first came over here.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started training for flying, for self-flying, and it has to do, my book is finished, by the way, everybody, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but what I would do is you get yourself like a mattress, you know, something that's thick, put your hands right by your side, and then fall into the mattress. Just tip over it and do not anticipate hitting the mattress. Do not anticipate any sort of, you know, rough landing on the mattress. And if you can overcome 100% all those anticipating factors, you in fact will fly.
Yeah.
You can actually levitate that way, but it takes practice. It takes quite a bit of practice.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. My ex-wife was a TMer, and she used to fly all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and I could hear her in the room giggling.
Was it hopping, or what did she do?
Well, she was hopping first, and then I think eventually she started flying a little bit.
Yeah, how far did she go?
I don't know, Fred. The door was always shut, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Other than she told me that in the beginning you could hear her hopping around the room.
Yeah.
And she'd giggle all the time. And then she eventually stopped and said that she was actually flying.
Yeah.
I don't know how far off the ground. I never even talked to her about it, to be honest with you.
Well, in my dreams, that's the way I always launch myself, you know.
And really?
Sometimes I'm demonstrating flying to someone, yeah. And then I go for altitude. You know, and I can go up. What I found is that I have a certain amount of energy to do this flying process, and then I run out. So I can make one really, this is pretty much consistent with dreams I've had for 30 years, I guess, say, since I started, 35 years when I built my first tournament, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, if I go for maximum altitude, I can get up probably, I'd say, 15,000 feet, being a pilot, judging what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I never seem to go any higher. It doesn't feel comfortable And, you know, having flown in airplanes that are unpressurized airplanes at 17,000 feet, it's pretty good to have oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I can do that like maybe once, and then I can mm-hmm. come back down towards the ground and then go back up again.
Yeah.
And then maybe do it two-thirds of the time. Or, mm-hmm. in a dream, I can keep it down treetop level, you know, and
right.
go three or four times longer. And about an hour is, I'd say, I could have a two-hour-long dream, but there's no more than 15 minutes of flying in it. And then I just don't go anywhere. I just get stuck. You know, I
okay.
can try all the disciplines. I'm still well ensconced in the dream process, but I can't go anywhere. You know,
yeah.
it doesn't work. It just doesn't work anymore. You just sort of, you know, it's a waste of time. So that
yeah,
energy
I,
kind of
I,
runs out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was never a TMer.
Yeah.
I had a master that taught me his meditation, but basically I would astro travel. And but other than that, I've never done, you know, I've never left the ground, actually, in terms of taking my body with me.
Yeah.
Now, she remembers, she was taught by Maharishi in Switzerland.
Oh, cool.
And she remembers him coming down out of his bedroom, flying, go into the refrigerator, grab a frozen Snickers bar, and go back upstairs again.
Now, that makes sense.
So she would see that. And then that was quite interesting. So she's been around in terms of traveling, and but she was quite an interesting lady. But I've heard about the flying. I've never actually seen it, other than hear about it. So I can't actually identify with it, other than what my wife would tell me.
Yeah.
But she used to go. I think it was Iowa. I think she went to Iowa. I think that's where the TM Center is now. And she went out there once or twice a year to do meditation. And then eventually she just stopped.
She did?
Yeah.
Now, after she left you or before she left you or what?
Before she left me. She she stopped doing TM.
That's interesting. Well, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi passed over, so that was... Maybe it lost its flavor. You know, my friend Mark Zimmerman and his family funded the Maharishi University.
Really?
Yeah, the Zimmerman family was also a great user of master crystals, and they used all our
really?
Products. Yeah, oh yeah, they had a big place up in Santa Barbara, not very far from Neverland, and then they moved all they. Sold all their estates and everything. They originally, I guess, made their fortune. Their dad owned Pick and Save. Remember when you could go into a store?
Oh, yes.
He owned that. He started that. He had a couple of Lear jets. They did really well. But I know
wow.
that they started wow. liquidating their some of their assets, so they probably had gone through you know, some of their money. But they did launch the university down there, and I guess it does have accredited courses now, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was really taken back by the Maharishi Center out in Iowa, because I made friends with some of my ex-wife's friends, and they were very, very nice people. And they would go out there, I think once or twice a year, and it was really a lot of fun for them. They would come back, and they would feel really, really like on cloud nine.
Oh yeah,
so it must have been really nice. Now I understand that the Beatles were into that.
Oh yeah, they're the ones that brought Maharishi over. George Harrison, or was it Ringo? I don't know. I forget. It was George. I think it was George. Believe it or not,
I think
he would have thought it was
also.
John Lennon, but brought him over originally back when they
really
first psychedelic era. Remember that album they did where they were crossing the street?
Right, right,
and
right,
and. So anyway, they're the ones that brought him over.
Yeah.
Started him out.
The pyramid.
Yeah.
Let me get back to the pyramid for a minute. The pyramid is so pretty. I've had a couple friends over, and they thought it was absolutely beautiful. And I told them that I have it over my bed to detoxify myself. And ever since I was not feeling well, and I called them, they couldn't. They said, "Holy mackerel!" And I said, "Yeah, I'm detoxifying like crazy, and it really, really does work." So you might be getting a phone call one of these days from a couple of my friends.
Oh yeah, they'll enjoy them.
Yeah.
I love it too. The new one so much better. Actually, setting up another one down here. I went over in Lagoon, and I'm setting up a second one down here. I can't be without them, you know.
I remember the chrome one in Laguna.
Yeah.
In
we
your
make
bedroom.
Them in chrome, and that, like the one you got, we can make those in chrome too, you know.
Yeah, that's incredible.
But they're a little bit more pricey, and then we can make them in gold too.
Wow.
You want the whole thing gold, let us know. We'll make you a solid gold one. You can sell that one. I mean, then we'll call you a Sheikh.
You know, I'll tell
Sheikh
you the
Barish or Mohammed Barish. That would be or the other Alatoya Barish.
Ah,
thank you and Alatoya.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what's a lot of fun is my projector.
How's that working?
It's even more powerful now. Every day that I wear it now, that I get up out of the my pyramid, it feels much, much more powerful. And also, things are happening instantaneously for me.
Yeah, so, I'm noticing that. I'll give you a little talk about instantaneous. You want to hear about instantaneous?
Absolute.
Okay. When I, you know, I want to get this book out, right? So
yes,
I finished the last chapter last week, early
mm-hmm.
about Monday.
Mm-hmm.
The book's written. And so the next thing you have to do is you have to edit the book, right? Well, Mikkel,
yeah.
He was going to edit it, but I said, you can't run most of Paradigm and edit the book. That ain't going to happen. She really rather
yeah.
wanted to edit the book because that's what she's trained as and she went to college for. But so I have some friends that did, you know, the Rays of Truth book. You know, it's
yep.
called 360 Degrees, and it's my friend C.C. Leonard and her husband, Mick, and he's from overseas. And Mick used to be the skipper on my sailboat when I had one back years ago. You know, when
mm-hmm.
I was throwing money into the hole in the water, and he was the skipper.
Right.
The boat was too
right.
damn big for me to run. And so I hadn't heard from him in, oh God, since the last book, you know, and then a little bit of sailboating after that. So I hadn't heard from him, let's say, in 6 years.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay, I finished the book, and I said to Mikkel, well, now I got to find somebody at this moment. It's time to go search for somebody to maybe around here to do the editing and assemble this book.
Right.
Ask Mikkel within a minute and a half, I had closed my computer, written the last word in the last chapter, walked in and told Mikkel it's done, and she's been waiting for that now for 4 years, and I worked out.
Right.
Out here every day since last November. Before that, I was doing the research, 3 years of research. I read a little bit. Within 90 seconds of finishing it, the phone rings. And guess who's on the phone?
Who's that?
Mick and Cece.
Wow.
They said, how you doing? What's going on? You know, and I said, well, about a minute and a half ago, I just finished my book. I'm looking for someone to do the editing and arranging and put some pictures in it and get it ready to ship off to the printer. He says, when do you want us to start? So I said, how about Tuesday? So they come out here and, hell, they're on it right now.
Well,
I mean, that's what I call power of the projector.
You got that right.
I had to wait
that's powerful.
90 seconds before I had a real, honest-to-God person. And how much were they going to charge? They would practically do it for nothing because they like my work. Anybody
wow.
else charged $5,000, $6,000, $10,000, they're doing
wow.
it for practically nothing.
That's incredible.
My work, and they do the best. They are doing. He's developing programs for iPhone. You know those iPhones?
Yes, yes.
And they just the guy that did the Endless Summer. They just finished a collector book that sells for like $500 for them.
Right.
They have developed a printing system where they have like Van Goghs that they reproduce Van Goghs for artists under a registered, you know, where you can do that and get you know, nobody in the world can do what they do. They're the most famous people in the world working for the biggest celebrities you can name, and they're just picking my book and going with it.
That's incredible. That's wonderful, Fred.
Yeah. Now, how's that for magic?
That's incredible magic.
Yeah. And so, so what's happening now is they also have some new stuff. We're going to have a really nice covered version that's going to be a collector version. It's going to be available. I think we're going to price one at $77.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be taking deposits for that probably in a week or so. And then we're going to have, they have developed a process that was used in Europe that was like in the libraries of Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big leather cover, but it's real leather. It's it costs over a few hundred dollars just to make the cover. Over $200 just to make the cover, let alone put the binding in it.
It has a
binding like they had hundreds of years ago. So we're going to do a limited edition and sell them for like $499. And we'll be taking orders for those the next week, or you know, the week after, anytime people want to order them. We're only going to take deposits, though, small deposits, because we're going to be a limited edition on the $500 books. I mean, a very limited edition on the $500 books. And then the limited edition will be the unedited, unabridged version. That's going to sell for $77, and we'll sell a bunch of those. But that's also going to be a limited edition. After that's done, then you'll have to get it from the publisher, probably at $29.95 or whatever. But, you know, the publisher always edits, changes. You know, they always, you know, what did they do to my song, Dad? You know, remember that song?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they do to your book. But, you know, you get somebody, one of these big publishers, and they give that to millions of people. Well, you know, that's cool. But then when that happens, it makes the $500 book probably worth $2,500, and the $77 book probably go to $300 or $400. It's happened on my last two books, especially on Death of Ignorance. I've seen them go as high as $1,200. The original linen ones, we only did 444 copies.
Right.
One, you know, and those things sell for a fortune now. Mikhail bought one off eBay, I think, for $100 because the guy didn't know what he had. We buy them. We see them on eBay. Or Amazon. No, it's eBay. We see them on eBay. We grab them, those old linen-covered ones.
Right.
The second version of The Death of Ignorance had three extra chapters. Those bring pretty good money, too, but not near as much as the linen ones with the last three chapters missing. You know?
Yeah.
The limited, the ones that are valuable have about 293 to 300 pages, and the other ones have like 350 pages, if you wonder which is which. And the valuable ones have a linen cover. And the other ones have a black cover with a gold embossed on it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see how these books go, you know.
That's really wild. I'm going to put in for the leather-bound one.
Oh, yeah, we'll get you that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's happening.
Time will probably be, I would say we'd be delivering, if with good luck, by the end of August. Maybe before, and worst case, early September. But we might get them out by August. That's only 2 months away.
Right, right. That's fantastic.
Printer's ready to go. I already prepaid the printer. I already had that handled.
Yeah.
He's ready to go. Sorry, doing the body of the book.
That's fantastic.
Binding and that fancy stuff, that's going to take a little extra, but they can do it pretty quick. Those
$100
ones are done one at a time. And they've been selling them. People have been using those kind of covers, and they're getting $500 to $1,000. That guy did The Endless Summer. His cheap ones are $500.
That's incredible.
With his full artwork and stuff that he does.
Yeah, yeah.
So just people have been wanting to get to see the book and blah, blah, blah. Well, now it's coming.
Well,
the book is going to pack a whammy on the what's going on, you know, on the covert side of the way the world's run.
Yeah.
It's going to wake a lot of people up because stuff in that book, you don't hear it on Art Bell, you don't hear it on Alex Jones, and you don't see it on the Internet. A lot of stuff is in there because it ain't around.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we got somebody on the line.
Yeah, go ahead. Hello, caller.
Hello, this is Dominic from London.
Hey, Dominic.
Really? Haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I keep watching the show every week.
Oh, good.
But I can barely hear you, though. That's a problem.
I don't know that.
I can hear on the phone right now. It's you're so faint.
I don't know. You sound really loud.
Yeah, you're coming through loud.
Okay, you're louder now. I can hear you perfectly now.
Really? Oh, well, maybe they made it in the studio. What has Dominic been up to?
Can you hear Dominic?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly, yeah.
Yeah, what's the phone call about, buddy?
I don't know. Well, basically, Fred just said, hi, call us in the chat room, and I thought, well, I'll just call you.
Oh, that's good.
But, you know, I can barely hear you, so it's all kinds of screwed up a bit, but...
Oh, we got that. Yeah. Now we're coming through fiber optics across the Atlantic there, you know. Maybe there's a big fish or a big octopus sitting on, pinching the fiber optics a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Can you hear us on your computer, okay?
So,
by the way, so you know out there, my friend Mick, the guy I was just talking to, they have a system now where you can listen to this show on. If you have an Apple phone, you can actually listen to our show on your cell phone now, so you're not stuck in a room anymore, which is kind of cool.
One of these years, I'll be able to afford one of those Apple phones.
Well, yes, they're going to drop the price on them again. Evidently, they bought out, or Skype, either Skype bought them out or they bought Skype, and he was explaining it to me. And if you remember, Skype is free. You know, you get Skype and you can make phone calls for nothing all over the place. And so Skype will now be on the Apple phone, which then allows it to be used as a radio station or whatever else you want to do, which is really cool because it's the internet connection. So we'll just probably...
So that'd be very exciting. You know, because whenever I go on holiday, I suddenly realize that I can't listen to your show, and I think, my gosh, what am I going to do?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Speaking of holidays, we have tomorrow's the 4th of July over here, which is a big deal because my triple-some-odd great-grandfather started a Revolutionary War here about 1776 and created the 4th of July when the war ended. Kind of cool. So every happy ending had to have a start. The Bell family was involved in the start.
That's incredible. That's wonderful.
Yeah, you didn't know about that, huh, Steve?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was really interesting because... I had a partner back in the mid-80s when I was I was the first one to develop the standalone air freshener that actually sucked the air in, filtered it, and sent it back out again, ionized. We had the very first one in the market. Nobody had anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody copied us after that. I had a partner. His name was Wes Parker. He and I were partners in this air ionization along with Dr. Donsbach. There's three of them. And Wes was the point man. And Wes Parker had won the World Series as a baseball player for the Dodgers in 1992. He was the first baseman, and he was the most, you know, MVP and blah, 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 and won the series with the pennant for L.A. Well, his so many greats back grandfather... his name was Colonel Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were having the town hall and a meeting in Boston and then the one in Philadelphia, and then they had the Washington was on Valley Forge camped out. And soldiers were laughing at him and stuff because they weren't doing nothing, just sitting there freezing. Nobody was shooting or anything.
Right.
So what happened was up in Lexington, Ethan Allen was standing there with his Green Mountain Boys. Ethan Allen formerly was a real estate salesman in New Jersey, and he was 7 feet tall.
Was he?
Yeah, he was called Vermont's Green Giant. And everybody in those days, if you look at the ships that were sailing in those days, they had a berth size of about 5.5 feet. So people were about 5 feet tall, you know, as the average height of people. I mean, 5'3" or 5'4". So 7 feet, he was like... you know, a basketball player. So So anyway, here comes Colonel Parker up to Ethan Allen, and he asks Ethan Allen, he says, when's this war going to start? You know, we've been practicing enough. They have the militia.
Right.
And Ethan Allen says, in order to start a war, he says, quote, unquote, goddammit, somebody's got to die. You know, that's what the... So then Parker went out on the bridge, and here comes a bunch of British regulars just marching across the bridge, and Colonel Parker got about 40 or 50 militia out there and says, all right, boys, shoot them. And they did. They shot them in cold blood. I mean, just mowed them down. These guys marching by. And that started the war. That was the shot that was heard around the world.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was funny because with Wes Parker and myself, we had the same relationship. He was always asking me questions about stuff, and I was always giving him the same kind of answers that he probably would have gotten a couple hundred years earlier. So we called the ionizer because of that, and I didn't even know about his parental involvement until we were halfway through the design and production run of the company. We hadn't named the product yet. So because it was our background and it was a new product, we call it the Revolutionaire.
Yeah.
That's what the name of the ionizer. And if you can get a hold of one of those things, they're very valuable now. They sell for they're all collector's things. We only made them about 5-6 years. And then we went to plastic cases. These things had an original beautiful walnut case, two big fans in them. It roared like a bomber. People complained about the noise, but boy, you put one of those in a room, it cooled the room down and made it just awesome. Just
that's
get fantastic. Ironclad in there just by breathing the air.
Yeah.
There's nothing on the market today that comes close to it.
That's
then after
incredible.
That, then what happened was that Richard Thalheimer kept calling me up over at Sharper Image back then. He says he wanted me to make a Revolutionaire because, you know, a Sharper Image in those days wanted a unique item. So he said, can you make me one of these things? And I says, yeah, but I mean, I can't sell it to you for the price you want. So he says, how about making one that's half that size with a single fan in it? And I said, well, let me do a price on it. So we made a prototype. I think I could have sold it to him for $105 as my cost to make, you know, a little profit in there. Not much.
Yeah.
We're talking
yeah.
like $10 a machine profit. That's about it. But we should have had more. But to get it to him, and he says, no, I can only give you $95. If you get it to me for $95, I'll take a lot of them. I says, I can't do it. We couldn't get the power supplies. We were making in Mexico then for him.
Yes.
Then, and we couldn't make them for sell them for $105. We had, I mean, for $95. So we never made a deal. But in the process, we educated him. I spent a year on the phone with him and his people, educating him into negative ionization. And then about back in the 90s, his company started to tank. And he then came out with that big, tall ionizer that they sold, based not on our technology, but on the knowledge of what ionization does, and that saved their company.
Yeah.
He sold several hundred million dollars worth of those things. But then he decided to go on the Internet because the stores were getting too expensive to run.
Yeah.
Then he shut down the stores, and he's running on the Internet now, making more money. You know, it's a smart way to go.
Yeah.
Okay. So he never went out of business. A lot of people thought he did, but no, he's doing just fine.
That's a good story.
Yeah, it's an ionizer story.
That's a remarkable story.
Yeah, true story.
Well, I got a story about my projector.
Okay, go ahead.
That was really, really incredible. I have a client by the name of Mary Beth, and won't give out the last name.
Yeah.
But she came in last time, and she was in about a month ago, and she had tremendous pain in her abdomen and around in her liver and gallbladder.
Yeah.
And what happened was is that her gallbladder was acting up.
Right.
And I did a lot of energy work on the gallbladder and the liver. And she went home. She says she was in a lot of pain. But after a day, she started to feel really, really good. About a week later, she was having a lot of pain again. And, of course, she went into the doctor, and she had her gallbladder out. But
I was going to say, it sounds like that's what they were going to do.
Yeah.
They just pulled out. I mean, I don't know why. So the gallbladder is there for a purpose, not to be removed.
Yes.
It's not like the appendix It's obsolete because we're not eating meat, you know?
Yeah, so the story, they took the gallbladder out, and they called her and said, we took your gallbladder out, but we've never seen anything like this before. She said, when we saw it before, it looked like it had stones.
Right.
And now it's all broken down and becoming liquefied.
Wow.
So that's from the projector.
Yeah.
And that's from the healing power. But they told her they've never seen anything like it before at all. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, it was healing. Why did they take it out? Why didn't they just wait a little longer?
I have no idea, Fred. I have no idea. But that's what they do.
I know that. But, I mean, I guess they couldn't observe. They didn't make any. How long was it from the time they made a measurement on it until they took it out?
I think it was like 3 weeks.
So in 3 weeks, it was already reproducing itself.
It was already reproducing itself. It was breaking down. The stones inside were breaking down.
Yeah.
It was becoming liquefied. I told her, if we could have waited another week for you to come in here, or another 2 weeks, we could have drained the whole gallbladder. That would have just come right out.
Oh, yeah.
But she was in a lot of pain, and the doctors wanted it out. And that's what they told her. They said they'd never seen anything like it before in their life. So I'm using the projector with my healing, and it seems to work very well.
Yeah,
so
no, that, it does.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun.
I
so
got
it really
a question.
Does work.
On the chat room, is there a way to build a pyramid for yourself for sleeping? You can do that, but the problem that I had doing it, I may run out of wood once, got the dimensions correct, then I wound copper wire around it, but the problem with that is the copper wire is toxic. The problem
yes.
with a straight wooden one is they don't have enough energy to actually do what these modern ones do. These new modern ones are precision machined within a few thousandths of an inch, far as their angle, length, and the
right.
corner pieces go. And I've tried making them out of materials at the hardware store many times
mm-hmm.
before I
mm-hmm.
came into production,
right.
and we had no luck with it. And then when you, if you would make a wooden one, you're still going to need a gold capstone for it,
yes.
or to really make it work. And it's
yes.
a lot easier just to get the whole thing already made.
Yeah.
Unless you got years and years to build all these corner pieces and stuff.
Yes.
Great accuracy.
You know, it's interesting. I called Chad. You know Chad that
our
is buying
friend,
a
yeah.
Master Crystal. He was talking about basically that the pyramid he had in his room was all copper, of course. So we had him take it out of the room.
Yeah, how does he feel better?
Yeah, he feels a lot better. And what's going on now is that I was able to take the projectors, and we put them up 6 feet in his room. We couldn't do it before.
Oh, okay, they're up.
Right, because of the copper pyramid, it was so toxic in the room
yeah.
that I couldn't get the projectors past 4 feet. And as soon as we got that the pyramid out of there, the projectors went up 4 feet, and he could feel the energy in the center of the room. So there was a big difference. He was really happy with that.
Oh, cool.
So he wants to buy a quartz crystal from you.
I've only got two. I sold another one yesterday, actually.
You did.
Another one of my clients, but it wasn't one of the two of the really good ones that he's going to need to ground that huge system up that he's got. He's going to need one of the big ones.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that. We talked about that, I guess, for
I'm
about
going over
45
to
Laguna
next week because I've got to pick up a lot of material. We have another shop out here now in Temecula. It's doing assembly, and we've got some systems to put together, including yours, that white thing we've got to make for you.
Oh, yes.
We're going up to Whit Laguna next week, and I'll bring one of those big masters out here. They're so big, and they're so heavy, but they're so gorgeous.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Stored over there. I need to bring them out here and just look at
them. You know, it's interesting. People don't realize the power of that room that you have with the crystals and the lasers.
Oh, yeah, it's all intact.
Oh, that's...
Still generating. The lasers go on every night to run it, you know.
That's incredible. That, I remember being there and watching that. I remember the Andromedans coming in, the Palladians coming in. I could see the energy outside the house just going crazy out there.
Yeah,
but it was so
people go away, you know, some rowdy neighbors, and when I left, the energy went up even more, and the rowdy neighbors moved out. Now the house is empty over there next to it.
That's good.
Probably will remain so for the rest of the summer because the energy's too high, and it's a rental house next to our house. And the people that so far have moved in there have been okay, but the last group was the kind of people. We're talking a $1 million house over there.
Yes.
They're living
yes.
in. They're throwing cigarette butts out the window in the backyard by the thousands.
Really?
Yeah, that's like animals moving next door.
Oh,
we didn't want that.
Gracious.
I was afraid they'd set the place on fire with all the cigarette butts.
Yeah.
So I complained to them, and the cigarette butt throwing slowed down quite a bit, and I didn't want to alienate them, but they finally moved out.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So that's what happened. So when you know, how about your neighborhood since you set up the since you set up your Portamid and you got more
well,
stuff?
Well, I'll tell you, the Portamid is quite interesting because I noticed my neighbors being a lot more quiet. Even though it's been quiet here, it's a lot more quiet.
Yeah.
The amazing thing about the projectors and the Portamid, the projectors that were in my room went up a couple miles and spread out about 6 miles wide.
Yeah.
And I would have a friend of mine who would come off the expressway, which was 5 miles from my house, and he could actually feel the energy from my house all the way from the expressway.
Wow.
So there's a lot that people don't know about these projectors, and I haven't even begun to play with the Portamid. I'm just waiting to get over this detoxification so I can start playing with it. Other than being able to see the room disappear with the Portamid, it feels like the room is getting much clearer, much bigger, and it feels like it's starting to disappear.
Well, do you have an irradiator yet?
No, I don't.
Okay. Next thing you want to add when it's time, they're not very expensive to what you've spent already.
Right.
And you always get the good prices, is an irradiator and a mega orb and a small systems power supply, two local crystals, like two rocks from your backyard.
Yeah.
Two small crystals, which I can give you. I got lots of them. You know, those fist size.
Yes. Yes.
So you put two of those Arkansas crystals in the bottom of the chamber of the irradiator. It's called a mega orb. You put
okay.
local stone in the other chamber, and then there's a chamber, there's a fifth chamber up on top, or a third chamber on top.
Yeah, yeah.
Put another crystal in there, and then what you do is you write things down, put them in an envelope, put them in there, and you take the irradiator, and you line the mega orb up to the north, the magnetic north.
Right.
You swivel the irradiator so it's looking right at your Portamid.
Mm-hmm.
You could take a picture of Hawaii, for example, and you put mm-hmm. it in there, and you'll go there, right? You'll go right, because it radionically transmits quantumly through the master crystal, the energy field. But I guarantee you, a money-back guarantee, you will go where that picture is.
Yeah,
in your
yeah.
dreams and stuff.
Yeah.
Some people actually astral travel and wake up, and they're not in their dreams. I only did
right.
it once.
Yeah, I do a lot of astral traveling, so... but I go to different planets, which is a lot of fun. I've done astral travel around our planet for years, and now I'm starting to go to different planets. I look at Saturn, which is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really beautiful.
It's an interesting thing. One of the people here asked if you ever heard of a cloud buster made of copper pipes and orgone. Yeah, I've seen those. We use four irradiators do the same thing as the cloud buster, which it actually creates lightning. And,
really?
The guys over at the Skunk Works, the ones down in the work down in Texas, near, I forget what the place in Texas, there's a Skunk Works down there. They actually built four of them and were doing some, you know, Lockheed Skunk Works was doing some experimentation with our radiators,
yeah.
orgone layers and the effects on clouds and energy and lightning.
Beautiful. What kind of crystal should I use in my Portamid? You were talking about a crystal.
Yeah,
and I don't know what I don't know what kind of crystal to buy.
Yeah, you don't have to buy it. I'll send it to you. Just remind somebody to send it to you. We'll send it out. You need something about 5 inches long, and diameter would be about the same, 5 inches, which would, in appearance, would look like about the size of a, two-thirds the size of a cigar. You know,
okay.
That similar shape. I got a box of them out there. I'll send you one.
Great.
Yeah, you need that in a red laser.
I've got a red laser. I bought a $1,500 laser from you, so as soon as I get that's quartz, I'll put that up and put the laser on it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, we're running out of time again.
Really?
Yeah, we only got 3 minutes left.
That wow.
Pretty quick.
How is everything doing out there in Temecula? Is that doing pretty good?
Oh, we had we had a big fire yesterday on the side of the mountain where we live. But the energy is so high here that the fire never got near us. But you know, when you come out of Temecula, we're not really in Temecula. We're in an area called Deluz.
Okay.
But you go up a mountain, and then you cross over a ridge, and then you're inside of another mountain range. We're actually in a mountain range with the mountains all the way around, and yet we're still about 2,500 feet high.
That's
so we have a micro environment here.
Yeah.
So it could be. Like today, it's probably 95 down in Temecula, and it's probably only 80, 85, 84 up here at the most. It's always 10 degrees cooler.
Yeah.
And we're right behind Pendleton, Camp Pendleton, so we got a marine layer comes in here at night, which they don't get down there. So everything up here is green. The trees are green. Everything is green. It's not all dried out like California is normally visualized.
Right. That's got to be beautiful out there, Fred.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful, but you should have seen the smoke. Then they had more airplanes, helicopters dropping water over there on the side of the mountain.
Yeah,
so people up here actually couldn't get to Temecula. They had to go kind of like the back way out to get down there because the roads were closed. So we had a little action, you know. But other than that, we're doing great. Been working on the pond. We got the pond in, and we're going to put a new liner coming from it.
And fantastic.
It's 90 degrees, so if you come out, you can swim in the pool.
Yeah.
My daughter moved over from England. She's real happy now. She's getting a job in one of the high-end clothing shops down in Temecula. There's some pretty high-end shops moving in. It's starting to look like it's turning into another Newport Beach is what it's doing.
Really?
Yeah. We almost have a South Coast Plaza, a fashion island down there now. It's gorgeous. We got the Yard House. We got T.F. Chang's. These are all the high-end, stick-your-nose-in-the-air restaurants that they have.
Right.
Got them all over here now. So at least the people aren't moving up here because you can't build houses here like you can in Laguna. It's very limited.
Yeah. I would love to come out there to see what it looks like.
Oh, it's a...
be a lot of fun.
It's like, I don't know, I'm looking at it. I shined the camera out the window, but it's too bright. It's kind of like the closest thing I say when I lived in Honolulu for a while. It's very much
really?
Like that. We got the same kind of trees. It's green. We got running streams up here. People have wells. A little more dusty. You know, we get a little dust here and there.
It's yeah.
Got
yeah,
a little red
yeah.
clay, but I mean, I can go right out now and get a fresh grapefruit, or I can go out and get a fresh lemon, or I can go get a pretty soon artichokes will be growing. This is right along the road.
Now, right. That's
and we have avocados.
Beautiful.
I'm looking at our tree out there. One of them with avocados hanging on it.
Yeah, that's really good fruit. That's really, really good.
Oranges. I mean,
oh, man.
Every time my daughter goes for a run, she comes back with some kind of fruit. I mean, you could live, I could not go to the grocery store and live off the land up here, not even having to farm it myself.
Wow.
I never thought I'd ever see that in Southern California. And there's all kinds of other, there's kumquats. There's so much stuff growing around here. I don't know what all it is, you know.
You live in a land of plenty.
I do now. Laguna Beach,
yes.
The only thing you get is a bubblegum wrapper, you know? Yeah, that's about it. We got to wind this down. Go ahead and announce your show.
Yeah, I'll be on my show tomorrow night, Steve Barrish Healing Hour. If anybody needs some help, 585-746-8321. And, Fred, thank you so much for having me on, buddy.
Yeah, well, go enjoy the pyramid.
Yep.
And is your car, you got your car now?
Yeah, but the I'm having trouble with the clutch, so I
well,
have to
what's
take
wrong
it back
with
on
it?
Monday.
Have a problem
they put a clutch in and it was too heavy. Much too heavy for the car.
Well, when you've got a light car, you don't need... The pressure plate should have about no more than 1,800 pounds.
Yeah, this thing is, must have 3,600 pounds.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You run 3,600 pounds in a 2,000 horsepower dragster.
Yeah.
You don't use it in that, and that's a one time only. You just disengage it off the line because it's a one speed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's BS. I mean, 1,800 with that light car, I don't care if you had 10,000 horsepower, 1,800 will never slip.
Right. Right.
So they put a 3,200 in it?
Well, I don't know what it is, Fred. It's so heavy, I can't push it all the way down. So
is it a
I'm taking it back.
Plus?
Actually, I stopped the check today, so I just didn't
oh,
like
good.
What I did.
How much was it?
$2,500.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did because these mechanics take advantage of you.
Yeah,
they really do.
So that's crazy. Either they get it right, or I'll take it someplace else.
Yeah. Well, they had it long enough. They charged you enough.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love my car, so I just want it right.
Oh, yeah, I know. I don't blame you. You know, you got to have your car running.
Absolutely. We're old drag racers, so we got to have our cars.
Yeah, except there's no place to take mine. I can't get mine out of the driveway, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyhow, we're back getting ready to sign off. I'll have my can show on tomorrow night, 4th of July night. It'll be on the old new, a nice update of the can show. You can reach me at fredbell@pyradyne.com, P-Y-R-A-D-Y-N-E.com, or call 1-800-729-2603. And outside of the United States, it's 949-499-2603. Until the 8th of July, or 9th of July, we'll see you then. Thanks for watching and thanks for listening.